The word of God from the Old Testament reading found in Exodus 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine." This is God's word. I'm going to pause right here. Gene, can I get you to go up and pull the main level down on the soundboard? Yeah, they're coming. I don't know what that is. My mic is off right now. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Old Testament reading found in Exodus 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine." This is God's word. At Christmas, we rejoice that God gives to us. He gives us his Son, born in human flesh to be our Savior. That is the meaning of Christmas. That God comes to us cloaked in humanity. We sang that in that last hymn. Cloaked in humanity to live among us, die among us, rise among us, and do all of it for us. Our epistle on Christmas Eve told us about how much God loves us. He gives us this gift because he loves us more than we can begin to comprehend. And at Christmas, we give gifts to one another, motivated, I hope, by the love that God shows to us. I know we kind of, you know, get down on gift giving at Christmas as Christians, but it is good to give gifts because God gives to us. And our response should be that we give to one another. We're taught that love by St. Nicholas, not Santa Claus, although there's some connection between the original St. Nicholas and the Santa Claus we think of today. The original St. Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra, gave gifts to needy families in his town because he loved those whom Christ had loved by shedding his blood. He saw that Christ had loved him and that he in turn should love all those whom Christ loves. So God gives his gift to us in Jesus. We give our gifts of love to each other. What do we then give to God? What is the gift that we should offer him? Today in our Old Testament reading, God opens up his mind to us a little bit to show us what he asks of us. God required Israel to give him the very first of what they had. Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. So the first son to which a child gave birth, it belonged to God. The first calf born to your heifer, it belonged to God. The first lamb delivered by a sheep, it belonged to God. We call this idea of giving first fruits. You give to God the first fruits of what you have. Your firstborn son belongs to God. Your firstborn animals belong to God and were given as sacrifices, or another sacrifice was offered in its place so that you could keep it. A family would redeem their son. You weren't expected to take your son and then put him up on an altar and give him into death like Abraham had intended to do with Isaac. No, they would buy him back by offering a sacrifice in his place. Now, while all this talk of sacrifices sounds foreign to our Christian ears today, it shouldn't, because it shows us that God is demanding. God wants what belongs to him. He demands your obedience. He demands your worship. He demands your service. He demands the very first of what you have. He's not some wimpy God who doesn't care what his people do. He's not an indifferent God who will just let you give your time and attention wherever you please. He's the first. The very first commandment God says to his people in Exodus 20, just several chapters after our reading for today, he says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And right after that, he explains what this means for God's people. He says, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." God calls himself jealous. He demands that he come first. He demands that his ways would be your ways. He demands complete and total devotion. The thing is, you and I don't give God our complete and total devotion, do we? Forget offering our firstborn sons. Do we even offer him the least of what we have? Do we listen to his holy word? Do we listen to his 10 commands that teach us his will? Do we recognize God as word in human flesh, the word becoming flesh to dwell among us? And where that word is, Jesus is found. Not in your heart or in your warm, fuzzy feeling, but there in his word. One of the teachings, the false teachings that has crept into the church today, it's been around for centuries, but it's really prevalent today. It's called mysticism. Okay? Mysticism, that sounds like, oh, going to like some lady with a crystal ball and a little, you know, covered wagon, you know, like a fortune teller or something like that. No. Mysticism is God is found in my heart. In other words, I need to listen to my heart. And if I do that, well, then I must be doing what God wants of me. So if my heart tells me to have sex with someone outside of marriage, well, God must be okay with it because it's what my heart tells me. If my heart tells me to have a homosexual relationship, then it must be okay with God. If my heart tells me I should spend all my money on things I can't afford and have no ability to repay the debt, well, God must provide for me in the long run because I feel it in my heart. If my heart tells me I should quit my job with no plan for something else or no way to take care of my family, I'm just following God's plan. If my heart tells me to worship God by going on vacation instead of going to church, or by sleeping in on Sunday morning. I had a friend down in St. Louis who said that they would go on Sunday mornings to the Church of the Holy Mattress. You know what that meant? Wake up, turn on the first religious program you can find while laying in your bed. But if that's what your heart tells you to do, it must be the right thing. If your heart tells you that all religions point to the same thing, then God must be teaching you tolerance. Stop listening to your heart. Listen to the Word. The Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Consecrate to me all the firstborn, the Lord says. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine. God demands being number one. And you learn that by hearing his word, where you learn that your heart is corrupt and sinful. That's what his law shows us. That's what happens when we hear his word. He demands the very first that we have, and his word shows us that we continue to put him last. The word of God shows our hearts for what they are, blackened and evil. Ask yourself, have you given God the first of what you have? Do you give God the first of your money? Or is your offering the last thing out of your paycheck, maybe if there's a few bucks left over? Do you give God the first of your time? Do you insist on beginning your week receiving God's word and God's gifts given in the Holy Supper? Does your day start with prayer and the reading of His word? Or do your own desires and your own worries dominate your time? Husbands and wives, do you look at one another as gifts of God to whom you are to show love and sacrifice and compassion? Or do you find yourself wishing you could trade in that spouse of yours for a better model, kind of like upgrading your car? Children, do you honor your moms and dads? I'm talking children of all ages. All of us who still have living parents, do we honor our moms and dads as authorities given by God to care for us? Or do we anger them and buck their authority? Unmarried people, do you conduct your life in holiness and purity? Do you resent God for not giving you that special someone? Widowed people, do you thank God for the time you had with your spouse and pray that God would keep you in faith? Like the prophetess Anna in our gospel today, who was in the temple fasting, praying, and worshiping night and day. Or do you pass the time with idle gossip about other people? You see, whether you are married or single, adult or child, young or old, working or unemployed, healthy or sick, God calls you to put Him first, no matter where you are in life. He calls you to hear His holy word that convicts you of all the sins where you have not put Him first. By commanding Israel to offer Him their firstborn sons and firstborn animals, God taught them this reality. God is always number one. God is always the first priority. God is the first thing with which you and I are to be concerned. And when you and I see our guilt over having not made Him first, He wants nothing more than for you to hear that word of God which pronounces forgiveness and redemption. You see, every person in this room, you and me both, have failed to honor God first and foremost as we ought. You've failed in that regard. I have failed in that regard. And Jesus Christ has been born of woman, begotten of the Father from eternity, into this world for the purpose of paying for this and all the sin that we have committed. Yes, we have sinned greatly, but you are forgiven in Jesus Christ, and I am forgiven in Jesus Christ. You see, God still demands the sacrifice of the firstborn son to be given to Him. Lest you're thinking that poses a problem for one of your children, it doesn't. Because He offers His own firstborn son for us. That firstborn son is to be given to God, but the firstborn son is already given by God. You don't offer your firstborn son to God because Jesus is the firstborn son given to God for each and every one of us. We don't offer sacrifices to please God. We don't offer turtle doves and pigeons like Mary and Joseph did, because Jesus is the sacrifice offered on behalf of every single one of us. Jesus was born on Christmas in order that He would be sacrificed on Good Friday. He lived so that He could die. He took on a human body, blood flowing and heart pumping, so that His heart would stop and His blood would spill upon the earth for you and for me. He stepped into this violent, restless world in order that there would be peace. Peace of which Simeon sang, peace of which we will sing after receiving the Lord's Supper. Lord, lettest now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the face of all people. God sent his son, Jesus, born of Mary, so that there would be peace between him and us. And God takes his rightful place as first in our lives, not because of anything you and I have offered him, but because of what he has offered for you and me. Jesus has died for your sins, therefore God is the Father and you are the children. You and I honor God as the head of our lives out of love for him, inspired by what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. As St. John wrote in his first epistle, we love because he first loved us. You see, in Jesus, we are free to love and serve God. And this is a profound difference compared to what you'll hear sadly in a lot of Christian churches today. That somehow we're to love God out of fear and as a demand that God has placed on us. But think of how children are with their parents. Children who truly love their parents don't do it out of fear. You can't force a child to love his or her parents. That's a fake kind of love. A child loves a parent who has been shown love by his or her parents. That love comes naturally. So now, you and I love and serve our God, not out of fear or obligation, but because he has loved us with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, the firstborn son given to redeem us. Because you have been so loved by God, how might you put him first? This Tuesday, a new year begins, right? In time, many people make resolutions. It's all well and good to think of ways to improve yourself and improve your life in the coming year. How will you respond to God's love? Will you hear his word? Will you confess your sins and receive absolution, the removal of all your sin? Will you eat Christ's body and drink his blood? Will you examine your lives to see how you have done those things which he has forbidden? Will you strive to leave those sinful things behind? Well, I can promise you, you're going to find sin in your life in the new year. No matter how your resolutions go, no matter if you quit smoking or lose weight or start to exercise or save money or whatever you do, sin will remain. But should you sin, and as sinful people you will always find a heavenly Father who is merciful and forgiving. A Father who offers his firstborn son for your sins. You will find the blood of Jesus that pays the debt you owe. That is the firstborn son given to God and given by God for your sake this day and always. To this firstborn son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, be glory and honor now and forevermore. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.